If you'll give me a hamburger today, I will gladly repay you Tuesday. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Steep, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principle and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst, and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Well, that's a great opening, Barry. And I'm just reminded that the person who made that statement was named Wimpy.
For those of you who are not familiar with the statement or with the name Wimpy, it's from the Popeye comic. Wimpy was a little guy in a bowler hat, and they were ill-fitted for him, too small, and who always loved hamburgers and would always ask Popeye or others if he would give a hamburger today, he would gladly repay them next Tuesday. Well, Chuck, I see Wimpy as the poster child for the vast majority of the Republican Party faithful, who year after year, cycle after cycle, election after election, loan the Wimpies of the world their vote. And then when Tuesday comes around, the Tuesday after the election, Wimpy is nowhere to be found in paying them back the promises he made.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think finally, because you hear various times various quote-unquote conservative leaders moaning and groaning about the way they're being treated by those in power in the Republican Party. But it always seems that those are the same people who, once it comes around to primary time or to the general election, fall over themselves saying nothing but positives about the party's nominee or the horse that the party wants to ride. So we have to wonder, it's like maybe the other analogy would be better would be Charlie Brown and Lucy in the football. How many times are they going to run up to expect when they go to kick it? Or are they going to be like Charlie Brown and fall for the same sad gag time after time?
You know, our old friend John Lofton used to use that analogy a lot when it came to Republicans, and he would know because he actually worked for Bob Dole at the Republican National Committee.
Yes, he did.
At one time. And that's what he said, that was part of the strategy, was to pull the football. Keep the faithful to keep making a try, and pull the football when the crucial moment came. So anybody who's familiar with the old Charlie Brown strip knows exactly what we're talking about.
Exactly. Well, and I think that some people in the national conservative movement have been looking at those comic strips again and reading the old Popeyes, especially someone by the name of Brent Bozell. Now, probably for most people, they won't know who Brent Bozell is, but Brent Bozell was the former chairman of the...
He is the Media Research Center.
Media Research Center. Thank you. That's exactly... I'm sorry, my brain just shut down. He is the chairman of the Media Research Center, and he also has a new PAC called For America, and he's the chairman of that as well. Well, the reason why we're talking about Brent Bozell and all of this today is... on Saturday of this week, an annual conclave, one might call it a fawning groupie session, ended in Washington, D.C. It's called CPAC, or the Conservative Political Action Conference. This is where supposedly all of the hardcore conservatives in the Republican Party join together to get to do early straw polls and hear speeches from hardcore conservative luminaries, well, in the past, such as Mitt Romney, John Huntsman. You start to see the picture. John McCain has spoken there in the past.
I think Charlie Crist has spoken there.
Chris Christie. I could go on and on with a list of not conservatives who have spoken at the Conservative Political Action Conference. Well, it's finally gotten under the skin of at least Brent Bozell. I mean, it got under your and my skin long and long, long time ago. That's the reason why we don't waste our time, energy, or money trotting out to D.C. to go to CPAC, because we really don't feel that it's a very good investment of our time or resources. But Brent Bozell got up at CPAC. This was on Saturday afternoon, so toward the end of the conference. And he did what most people really didn't expect. He dished out some truth, Chuck. He laid a smackdown upon the current crop of quote-unquote Republican leaders. Why? Because he's saying, you're not conservatives. Shock and amazement, Charles. The current crop of Republican leadership in Congress are not conservative. Now, is this a brand new epiphany or newsflash, or is this something we've been saying for, well, a long time now?
Well, gosh, anybody that's listened to our radio show for now the last, 18 months or so, knows for a fact that we've been saying that these guys who tout themselves as conservatives aren't and never have been and probably never will be, except when it comes time to run in a primary, at which time they talk a conservative game that would make the most ardent conservative simply make their heart flutter and, oh my gosh, we finally got our man. And then when it comes time to run, they still a little bit right of center to keep us happy. And then when they actually govern, they govern like Democrats.
Well, you know, that's true. And he chose in his speech to pick out one who fits that model exactly, and that is Paul Ryan, who was, as everybody remembers, the vice presidential nominee on the Republican ticket last cycle, last year in 2012, with Mitt Romney. And everybody's been talking about Paul Ryan and his budget and balancing the budget. Well, Brent Bozell's actually read that budget, and he's figured something out. He says, well, you know what? Many leaders have discussed this and says, what do we believe as conservatives? What is a conservative? He goes, well, we don't need to discuss that, but let me tell you what a conservative isn't. And he says, well, you know what, Paul Ryan, you know, you mean well, but your proposed budget has the federal government spending $41 trillion over the next years, with more spending increases every single year of the proposed budget, and assumes all of the Obamacare taxes coming in. So in other words, basing it on the idea that we're not going to get rid of Obamacare, we're just going to spend more and more and more money. He said that's what liberal Democrats do. It's not conservatism. He calls it Democrat light. Well, you know, this is the same Paul Ryan who was the vice presidential nominee under the Romney campaign in 2012. And when Ryan was picked, a lot of these national conservative leaders got all happy about the Romney-Ryan ticket because they saw Paul Ryan as this solid, staunch conservative, both fiscally and socially. Well, you know, we took great pains, Chuck, of looking into this and realized that socially he was coming off of that quote-unquote conservatism by going from being a supporter of full personhood from conception life support to rape and incest exception support for abortion. He also was actually getting most of his funding from a billionaire New York magnate whose sole goal in life with his political money is to elect Republicans who will support same-sex marriage. So those are not conservative values. And of course, now Paul Ryan is now assuming Obamacare and spending like there's no tomorrow, $41 trillion over 10 years, Chuck. Now, that's a huge amount of money. Now, I don't know if that's Democrat light or if that's just Democrat mainline, which I think Bozell may have been pulling a few punches there.
Well, it's go along to get along, and if anybody wants to see whether we're being truthful or not, all you have to do is go back and look at some of the campaign things we did back in the summer and the fall of 2012, because we fully documented Ryan's sellout to the pro-gay forces, and basically we also documented his sellout to the pro-abortion forces. Now, of course, he didn't go full pro-abortion. Well, no. But let's face it, Barry, this is not a matter of degrees. You're either pro-life or you're not. And this rape and incest thing, I still don't know how Paul Ryan went from being a personhood advocate to a rape and incest exception because
how it happened. It was when you get on the ticket, you're going to sing the ticket song. And that's where Mitt Romney was supporting rape, incest, and life of the mother exceptions. And so they couldn't have a split in the ticket. So Paul Ryan, who has national aspirations to probably be president himself, figured, oh, that wasn't too big of a compromise to make in order to get on the big stage.
Well, of course, it was a big, because that's one of the things that cost them votes.
Absolutely, because you couldn't trust where they were going to be at on it.
That's right. Nobody knew exactly where they were going to be. Why should they vote for him? You and I have been involved in the quote-unquote radical side of the pro-life movement for a long time. And the fact is that we know some of those radicals who actually believe that infants are human beings and persons and have full rights to their life will not vote for anybody who basically takes a rape or incest exception.
Nope, it's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. So they lost all, maybe a small portion of the movement, but it's a significant portion of the movement.
But when you lose key battleground states by under 500,000 votes, it could be very significant issue. But I want to move on to something else Brent Bozell said in his speech to CPAC. And that's where he took leadership in the House, John Boehner, Eric Cantor, and Kevin McCarthy, to the woodshed. And that was what his comments there is what inspired my wimpy analogy of earlier. And I think we've actually got a clip of Bozell's speech where he talks about these men and basically takes them out and gives them whipping.
I've got it right here. Let's play it.
John Boehner, Eric Cantor, Kevin McCarthy. You said all the right things to conservatives to propel the GOP back to majority control and you to the top leadership positions there. You, like virtually every single Republican elected to Congress, solemnly vowed to rid us of Obamacare, which you can do simply by refusing to fund it. Why haven't you done so? And while we're at it, when the Secretary of HHS decrees that we should be forced to pay for the murder of babies, why don't you decree that Americans will no longer pay for HHS? What of all the other oppressive, and in the case of Planned Parenthood, evil organizations immorally funded by our tax dollars? What of the utterly useless agencies like NPR, PBS, and Legal Services, and the NEA, and so many others you solemnly pledged to put out of our misery? You've done nothing over the last 2 years but give us excuses and more commitments that tomorrow, yes, tomorrow, you're going to honor those promises. Gentlemen, where promises are concerned, you're not what you promised to be. Do you want to restore your reputations as conservative leaders? All you need to do is honor your promises. They were good ones. Watch what happens. You'll be heroes. Jeb Bush.
Well, Chuck, I don't believe we're going to see that last portion of honoring their promises because, just like Wimpy, Tuesday never will get here for John Boehner and the Republican leadership in Congress.
Well, of course not. It's too dangerous, Barry, for these guys to pander to the right in the party and then play to the moderates and the far left of the other party. First of all, they're not going to steal any votes from most of the far left of the Democrats. What everybody knows is, Barry, that the two parties, left of the Democrats and the right of the Republicans, what you're really shooting for are the guys who are sitting on the fence. And Boehner and company know this. So basically, this is not about principle to them and to the most of the leadership of the Republican Party. It's about winning. Now, what they'll tell you is that, well, we can't practice our principles if we don't win. Well, yes, but when you do win, you don't practice your principles. Well,
that's right.
Then they'll say, well, we have to keep our power base. Okay, what's the purpose then? If all it's about is winning, is it all just about keeping power? And the answer to that is yes. That's all it's about. It's about keeping power.
Seems to be the case.
Which, if you think about it, is a very sad statement about what politics has become. What it's supposed to be is a debate between different ideals about how to run the country. And when we first started political parties, the fights were fairly minor. But now they are, well, shall we say, they're worlds apart. And we're just about out of time, but one thing I've thought about through this whole thing, post-election self-examination of the Republicans and what they need to do, and all the consultants coming out and saying, you need to move to the left. Exactly wrong, Barry, because think about this. When the Democrats lose, they never shift positions. Never. They stick to their guns. Republicans constantly move to the left. Democrats never move to the right, ever.
No, that's right. That seems to always be the case. But again, just like Charlie Brown and Lucy with the football, conservative rank and file will continue to run as fast as they can, expect that football to stay put. And they always get it pulled out from under them, and they land flat on their back, screaming, "Ah!" as they hit the ground.
So join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.